long. I'm just presuming that most people have read the paper, and I'd rather have a discussion, because I think, yeah, even myself, I'm not 100% convinced that I've answered any questions, instead just raised issues. So the paper is quite ambitious, and it was difficult to write at times because it tries to address how the theoretical debates, which are very rich, particularly in work coming from kind of Europe and America, but increasingly from other places, including South Africa too, on what it means to research race and race thinking. But rather than just tackle the theory, because of some personal reasons in my own research, which I'll go through, I was more interested in asking the questions, what does this actually mean for us when we go out and research and we talk about ourselves as researching race or race thinking? In other words, how does this impact on our practice, and in turn, how does our practice raise more questions for the kind of theoretical contemplation in this field? So why I wrote it is because for myself, when I was reading, I would get frustrated at times that there's a kind of lack of material that really tries to deal with what it means to research race and race thinking. So we know that it's complicated, we know that there's a dilemma and that researchers can reify or reaffirm racial categories, but when we actually go out and do interviews or write up a survey question, how are we doing that? How do we try and move beyond that and not fall into that trap? Secondly, and that's obviously not in everything that is out there in the literature, but too often I feel, particularly when you're reading research, the role of the researcher in co-constructing ideas of race is not tackled. In other words, that's part of the analysis which is just kind of ignored, or at least just brushed over. So I think in the paper, I ask a question too. Is it enough just to say that race is socially constructed, but then continue to identify a respondent as white or black or coloured, or indeed just talk about people as if you can, you know, belong and be in a category, for example. And also because, and I do use the American Sociological Society statement as an example there, where I think that researchers should not be passive in that they think that all they're doing is commenting on the way the world is. Of course, they are creating that world. And one of the footnotes, but it's a very interesting article to read, Melissa Nobles talks about the census and exactly the same thing, a kind of history of how the American census was very much a part of creating these racial categories, but at one point have a kind of meeting to decide whether they should continue it, and well, yes, we should, because people use them. So now suddenly you've objectified yourself and you're just commenting on what people do, instead of still problematizing the fact that you are continuing to create these categories in some way. And lastly, and here really, I mean, I think I've just, even in myself, begun to tackle how we do this, but because if we don't start asking ourselves difficult questions, literally, about how did I just do that? Why did I just, in my analysis, want to talk about that person as black or Indian? I'm using South African categories now. What was it that I used to classify? Instead of just thinking that, oh, it's a given because everyone can do it. You know, what was it that I was doing? And also about how we write. So how we try and explain what happens in our research and what that does to a reader when they read it. Again, are we making a critical statement? Are we challenging the classification process? Or do we simply just reaffirm that, well, it's there so we can talk about it? The other things that were brought up in the paper is that a critique of the state, basically. I think that non-racialism is used quite liberally in some places in the state, yet never really does it appear as a kind of agenda on which to enact change in society. Rather, often it's contradictory because it seems to be about multiracialism, which is a different proposition. And the role of research as a possible agent of change, which is ambiguous as to whether it can be a change, either in a state-driven policy or on a smaller micro level between the researcher and the respondent or the researcher and the reader. And I think lastly, just to state, is that when I first started my PhD, I think I was a little bit optimistic to think that you could jump to what some people call a kind of post-race research agenda. I no longer think that, because I'm not sure that researchers have the tools yet in order to do that. But what I think is really vital is that if we don't start to move towards, even if it's an ideal of what we think could possibly be in the future, then we kind of stuck in what I would consider a rather dangerous paradigm. So rather than jumping towards, the idea here is to start discussion, and hopefully also that more and more researchers start the process of exploring other ways in which we can research, even if they're not fully or don't provide a kind of complete answer. And otherwise, I'm sure there's many questions or disagreements or queries, and I'd love to hear them.
Okay, well, Rob, I see.
Thanks a lot, Karen. I think the paper's a very important one, actually. And that's, I think that in the light of various reports, like the Syrian reports in universities, that pointing out that racism is pervasive in education institutions, that it's very important that we research this and think of past research without red flag rates. And I think the points you made about researchers slotting people into categories of race is highly problematic. I think it's problematic slotting people into categories anyway, particularly in relation to race. And I want to kind of draw for a little bit to some research I'm doing, where I'm investigating race and racism in schools, not particularly about race, but race is something that is being put onto the agenda in interviews which I'm conducting with young people in schools in the Durban area. I ask very general questions with grade 11 learners in schools, in different kinds of schools, formerly white schools, formerly Indian schools, about township schools. And basically, I'm trying to find what it's like to be a young person of their age. So I'm asking very general questions about do you like it, dislike it about school, plan to do leave school. And what we're finding in this research is that particularly amongst black kids who go to formerly white schools, formerly Indian schools, or Indian kids who go to formerly white schools, it raises something which is put onto the agenda by them and often spoken about in very emotionally engaged ways. So for example, in one interview I was conducting with black girls in formerly Indian school, I'm asking, you know, what do you like, what do you dislike about school? And straight away, one of the girls said that we get picked upon, we don't like being picked upon by teachers. And then, well, when you say we, you're talking about, she said, black girls. And then the interview became one in which the girls talked a great deal about experiences of racism in the school in very emotionally engaged ways. Now, one could say, the interviews I was conducting were monoracial interviews and also same gender interviews. And of course, one could say that, well, I'm constructing a situation which is putting race onto the agenda myself. But what's interesting was that, and quite a lot of literature has been written about this, that talking about race is actually very difficult, often in mixed race interviews. And certainly in the interview which I conducted with black girls and Indian girls, that race wasn't an issue which was raised at all. It's only in the monoracial interviews. So what position do we take in this in a way? One could say that the interview is providing a forum for people to talk about experiences of marginalisation and racism. But on the other hand, you could say, well, we're constructing race as researchers by putting them into monoracial groups. Just one other thing very quickly. On your understanding of kind of social constructions and social constructions and ideas about race, I mean, I think, are you saying that race is produced by certain kinds of routine habitual practices, and those practices may be the social practices, they may be form filling, etc. Or is that essentially race is a kind of mistaken form of thinking, but it depends upon these kinds of practices which are producing it? Or does race have a material basis at all? I mean, you're saying obviously race doesn't have a biological basis, but does it have a material basis? I mean, is all in order to deal with race and racism, is it a question about dealing with a discursive level and critiquing the kind of practices that we take for granted which produce racial categories? Or is there something more material about race? If to think differently, would kind of race disappear? Or is there a reason why people are so invested in talking about race? Are there certain material conditions which encourage racial thinking? And if so, for example, the racialization spaces, the racialization policies, are those aspects?
Well, Rob, I'm not going to comment too much on the first part, besides to say that, I mean, the one thing that I hope comes across in papers, I'm not saying that people should become kind of blind to the effects of race on people's lived experiences. So it's not that research into race, even the kind that you do, is not important, because it is. I think it just takes, what we have to go into that type of research doing is to be highly reflective about our own performances, and I'll speak about performance as a researcher, but also the impact that it has on the school children. But more precisely is that it demands kind of deeper and further investigation, instead of just saying, well, you know, this black child has experienced racism. Because whilst that's one thing that might be important to know, it doesn't really enable us to challenge the racism. What is it about that experience, particularly, that person wants to explain it in a racialized way? Do you know what I mean? When, if you look at the whole interview, there might be other identities that come out that explain different situations. So why there and not somewhere else? Do you know what I mean? What part of the institution seems to bring out a racialized explanation? To me, if the research can offer that, then it challenges racism in some way. So it's all about how you present, how you analyze and present the findings that's more important than saying, like, you know, should we or shouldn't we use race as a kind of a topic of study, if that makes sense.
Okay, but if the young people provide particular examples of racism, I mean, how do you, you know, like, for example, if trouble occurs in the school, then it's always a black person who's blamed, this kind of thing. I mean, is that, how do you deal with those?
In what way?
Well, what I'm saying is that if, I mean, I'm not quite sure what you're asking for, that if the young people are talking about the experience of racism and then say, well, okay, tell me what do you mean by that? And they give specific examples. And if these are examples which kind of permeate the interview, I mean, I'm just wondering, what's the responsibility of the researcher then? You know, put forward some of these points to teachers, and then mentioned these particular girls that said this, but just more generally.
Yeah.
And what the teachers said was that they interpreted it in a way which invalidated the kind of thinking of the girls. They said, oh, they're just harking off, they're just invested in kind of over apartheid categories, you know, that they hung up with race. So whose position, I mean, it's almost like I sort of feel responsibility to take that seriously, you know, and I'm concerned about, you know, but at the same time, you know, I'm conducting interviews with all black students, you know, and so it could be argued that from the point of view that you're raising, that I'm already slotting them into a category and encouraging them to think along racial lines. But at the same time, it could be argued as making it possible for them to talk like this.
Yes, I agree. That's the dilemma.
Yeah.
This is the thing, right? If you leave if you leave that unaddressed in your research, then you simply reproduce. Okay. If you're willing to ask those questions and to some extent try and even take into account how that might skew your responses, and secondly, what responsibility that does have in reifying for those school children that you are busy interviewing, that there's something about them that is a shared commonality.
Last week in the history seminar that some people would have attended, there was an issue raised about quotation marks around the issue of race and where you use it and where you don't. And in part that's something that you've struggled with in your paper as well, and I think that that's something that perhaps your reflections, maybe to just introduce the question and then also to kind of give some context for the decisions that you've made in the paper as well.
Sure. I mean, the other thing is just how we talk about people and how we write about them. For me, I'm trying to become more conscious of the fact that I'm not sure if there's such a thing as a black child or black children, but there's certainly such a thing as children who are labeled black. Do you know what I mean? It's a category. It might sound like a silly distinction, but even in how we talk about people is, you know, do we think of them as being black, or can we sufficiently recognize that they are categorized black and that this has some sort of effect on people's lives? Do you know what I mean? I mean, how much you would like to do with those children, I think, is, depends on your own research and how much you're prepared to leave it as just taking the data without trying to enact a critical thinking even within your respondents about something they said is also personal issues of research. Just lastly, on does race have a material base? And tell me if I'm not answering your question. But like, what I've also tried to say is that, I mean, in many ways this becomes difficult to research because the kind of more popular common notion of how people talk and think about each other is in a racial paradigm, you know? So for me, increasingly, I see race as a performance. It is definitely a performance. We would not want to know someone's race unless we use it to alter the way that we are going to interact with them in the story. So we use these kind of visual cues and social indicators in order to consciously or subconsciously alter the way that we perform with someone. So I think that what the paper was trying to say is that, like any profession, you can get into habits. So when you research these things, we just need to be a little bit more critical about these rituals that we can do without thinking about why we're doing them. So even if in a survey, if you have got as your first or second question or within the top five categories in which to tick your race, why? It doesn't mean they don't have to be there. They can be there, but just why? You know what I mean? Just as long as there's an explanation for why you think that is so important, how it is that that is a vital part of this survey, how you want to use it. Because certainly I believe that ticking that box for the respondent sends a signal, you know, because here the signal of race in this country is something which is still deemed quite important. Doesn't have a material base. Well, of course, the history of South Africa and the inequality of apartheid most certainly seems to correlate with a kind of essentialist view of race, doesn't it? So even in the paper, that's what I'm trying to say, unless you have some sort of structural change too. I mean, certainly where you move the majority of people out of poverty, I think it's necessary if you're going to challenge a racial paradigm, because right now it's so closely linked with class.
Can I ask a comment?
Sure.
To go on, so stop me from the chair. First of all, I think this is an excellent paper. I mean, apart from the content, the writing, this was just such a pleasure to read. And really important, and I'm not up with literature in my field. When I have time to follow it up, I will be. I really found it a pleasure to read. It's hugely challenging. It is very broad, can't bring it all up now. But to try and just go almost directly, well, of course, I'm not going to talk about myself first. Those of us who are not involved in direct research on the creation of racial categories, but of course, because we're researching in South Africa, we are caught up in questions of race. There's a slight difference, this one removed. Nonetheless, I do think your questions are pertinent. I'm quite lucky in my own research. One of the questions is looking at the 19th century, and the received opinion is, round about the middle of the 19th, there wasn't really racism at the beginning of the 19th century. There was a concept of the savage and the civilized. Then about the middle of the 19th century, that gets racialized into, well, here's
problem, European, African, very unsatisfactory. So we duck behind white and black, and if we're really cowardly, we put them in inverted commas, which I think is completely wrong. I'm lucky, but it's another form of ducking from a problem, because I can talk about settlers and natives. And natives in the sense of being Aboriginal is a very accurate term in many ways, but even that is simple. That gets me out of the race problem, because the questions you ask here are extremely important. And just from your paper, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to sustain this even as an understandable argument, but the more I thought on reading your paper, I thought that perhaps there were three points that emerged for me. First of all, this is the obvious, perceptions of race exist. They determine our behavior. Your marvelous anecdote, if you like, at the end about helping somebody in an office to get. It is, race is all around us. It determines our behavior. And it is not that we researchers are studying race. As you say in the paper, this is in the paper. We are part of it. And that kid, that girl, etc. We immediately show us we've got problems as researchers. We are not looking at ourselves. It's all out there. And we can't go on with this without this word. Okay. In race. From the beginning, all of us at every moment of our lives. And that's the starting point. So it's a huge social force. It changes with context, of course, and it affects our lives profoundly. It's not a problem. It's us. Okay. Well, but now it seems to me that race doesn't exist. It exists perhaps in so far in the crudest, most grotesque terms of gross morphology, which even those are inaccurate. Black isn't black, white isn't white. As soon as you come to look at it, but those are the ones. But and to understand race at all, it can't be understood in terms of itself because it's meaningless. We have to invest something in it. Culture, religion, gender, whatever. So there's no race. It's something which we give content. It doesn't exist on its own. And it explains, as a result, nothing. Phenomenon that we call race, we give it its content. And it can't be race. Although people do it, of course. What's the term about inverse racism? Yeah. Circular and racist. It then explains nothing. And I think this is the epistemological question. I think you use the word ontological, I don't know. Isn't it the same as the old philosophical question when what is the noise of a tree falls in the forest and what's the noise of it? You know, the problem with that is, even in the example, you've given the tree a noise. The noise of the tree falling isn't there until we create it. I think that's my answer anyway. And this is the question of race. Race does not exist. And I think we shall not talk about this in my final point. Race thinking. I don't think anymore, particularly reading your paper, there is such a thing as race thinking. There's race. We shouldn't qualify it at all. And it doesn't exist. Because to talk about it, we've got to talk about religion, culture, etc., etc. So that's, I don't know, what I'm taking away. And I found it, but I think I'm, anyway, this is not about right or wrong. It's whether it's useful, isn't useful. I found the paper very useful, and even as far as I've got now, which you might totally reject, perhaps you should, it's pushing me, I think, in an important direction.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. Can I also thank you, actually, for talking about yourself first? Because something which I didn't want to go on about in the paper, because I can also tend to get romantic about versions of the past and the future, but I think it is important, was just also the idea that we should think about possibilities. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, one way I think it would be to go, you know, even if we say it doesn't exist, it's all around us, it's so prevalent, you know, we perform it every day, et cetera, et cetera. So we tracked. So if that's the scenario, then it means that our best case is multiracialism, right, in a democratic state. For me, that's problematic because I think if you don't challenge the categories, they're just waiting to be mobilized again. So easy. You just have to look at history to see that. So the other thing that history does, though, is show us that these categories weren't always there. If they weren't always there, then absolutely there's a possibility that they may not be there in the future. Now, we know that science was not the only, obviously, but played a role in creating these categories. I think the question that I'm asking is that, can it play a role in changing them or erasing them? That's more ambitious. And even if we're not sure if the answer is yes or no, like, shouldn't we give it a try? If we think they're problematic, shouldn't we give it a try? I don't know if you've got a direct question or...
Can we throw out race, is what I'm asking.
Can we throw out race? Yeah. So I'm an optimist, I'm going to say yes.
But not out of optimism or pessimism, out of rationality and logic?
Yes.
I think so too.
Yes, we absolutely can. But I think whilst that's an important question, it's the more important question to ask is how do we start? It's the more difficult one. Mm. Thanks. I don't have that answer right yet, but I'm starting.